shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning for strength and consolation. And those things, Lord, which we know in ourselves, we have not, nor can we produce them. And if we did, it would be purely psychological, and it wouldn't do the job because it would not stretch from here into eternity. And we are dealing with eternal things at this hour, and this is what makes it all the harder and all the more sober. Give us strength, therefore, Lord, to remove nervousness and those things, Lord, which come between us and you and which demonstrate an uncertainty to a degree which we would have eliminated by you this morning. We believe our prayers are legitimate, and therefore we expect an answer and thank you for them. Open, therefore, understanding in both in speaker and hearer, that if what we are saying is true, and it is so far-fetched from the normal, as to be almost unbelievable, and truly it is, and unacceptable to, I suppose, 99% or more than of the world, but to us it is life, and yet we know that if the light be in us be darkness, how great is that darkness? But we do not believe that, Lord, for we believe that, as the prophet once said, things are happening so fast out there in the desert. And we didn't catch at that time, Lord, they were happening to him because he was out there in the desert. And who cares 2 cents about anything outside of the man who was in the desert? And it is doing the same with us today, leaving us breathless, and yet rejoicing in the God of our salvation, in whom we say, we have our peace and our all in all, and you are our entire and only love. No temptation anymore exists because there is nothing to be tempting. It is you and you alone, for we have seen thee and heard thee, and know whom our soul loveth. To thee we give praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue from what I was dealing with in Columbus and also here Wednesday night. The prophet and the works of God. The prophet and the works of God. And we will begin in the book of Amos, where Brother Branham took us, to the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse, wherein it says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. In other words, what God was going to do was entirely in his sovereign omniscience, but because it was relevant to and related to the people, he had to convey what was secret from them, but now available, and he used the prophet. We go to Deuteronomy 29:29, and this has been one of my favorites even before I ever met Brother Branham and knew anything in the way I know it to this hour. And it said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. That's saying the same thing. The originator of those things that are of God is God, and they are with him, and they are secret to us. Neither can we know them except in a certain way. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, and how are they revealed? Belong unto us and to our children forever. In other words, that which God is doing here is redemptive unto eternality, that we may do all the works of the law. In other words, whatever God said was for them secret at one time, but now made known. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, those well-known verses 17 to 22, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. And I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. You notice he said he put the words in his mouth. Later on we will read what Balaam said. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet spoke it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. In the 13th chapter, which we will not go into, the same book, combining with this, you will see here the seeds and the warning of the false anointed, where the two vines and the two prophets are so absolutely identified that there has to be a little trick, a little secret, a little something, which is given to the bride in order that she will not be destroyed. Now, let us not take this lightly, my brother and my sister, because this is too easy to be taken lightly. Say, well, I'm elect. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it. Hold your peace this morning. You would be deceived except God had a way to stop the deception, because he said even the very elect. And how many will stand this morning and in your pride and in your ignorance, and I talk of myself also, dare to stand to your feet and I say, I am of the very elect? Kind of puts you down, doesn't it? Kind of humbles you. Keeps you from thinking you're somebody. We'll get into that later on. We go now to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 9 through 12, with which we are tremendously familiar. This being, of course, if it's your favorite like mine, but as it's written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Then why try to figure it? Wait for it. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, save the deep things of God, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. In 1 Peter... We also read, pardon me, 2 Peter 1:15 to 21. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my death to have these things always in remembrance. Brother Branham is speaking here, not the Apostle Peter. Oh, you say that was Peter, it was, but it's the same Spirit. What are you trying to tell me? For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the presence that power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Was it a fable that could produce what that man's word produced? Let your Trinitarians try it, or any devil-possessed serpent seed. Though be he as Judas, anointed to do miracles and raise the dead. Let him try it. Let him stand by a prophet. We made known to you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, for eyewitnesses of his majesty. I tell you by vision which your eyes cannot see. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto we do well that you take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy is of any scripture is of any private interpretation. Why? Because you never got it in the first place, so shut up and listen to the men who got it. For they alone can tell you what it is. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy. Holy. Who's that Kentucky hillbilly? Why, said Mrs. Hicks, And I'm not afraid to call her name, for she is not only a woman, but a blasphemer of the word, a female preacher. And she said, isn't it too bad that William Branham has this great ministry, but you know he's a drunk. Robert Tom said the same thing. He is dead. Where is he today? Don't guess! Don't guess and play games with me, because you are so legal and so self-righteous and so nice. You and I know where he is. You're looking kind of puzzled and dumbfounded. Haven't you grew up in yet? You who will judge the world? By the word? A man that blasphemed? Men who called William Branham the devil? Moses! Go down. Just like your uncle. Holy. Holy. Not garbage tins. Not garbage tins. Not garbage tins. Not garbage tins. I'm not a broken record. I don't think that I am. Holy men of God. How holy would a man be if God was in him? He that has joined the Lord is one spirit. Did your spirit make God's spirit dirty? No doubt it did. Or did he make yours his? Don't just nod your heads. I'm coming down on you. You were not over for a long time this morning. I speak as I've never spoken before. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's danger ahead, brother, sister. Because some of you sell your souls for a dollar bill. You'd sell your souls for popularity. You men for women. I boasted here before, and I'm afraid not to boast. My boasting is in Christ. I told you I have no fear and I have no guilt. Money means nothing. Women means nothing. My popularity means nothing, which I will prove this morning to you. You say, hey, have you arrived? No, he has arrived. It is abundantly evident from these scriptures that the people of God as a body and as individuals in that body cannot receive a revelation from God and know the things of God in any other way than by a prophet. Repeat. If you pass the fourth grade and you have not sold your mind and your soul to the perversions of hell, and remember, Satan fell by reason of pride. If you can bring your mind down this morning, listen again. I spit on your revelation. It isn't fit to clean even any orifice. If you got it. On your own, as though you have something to say in this hour, or in any hour. It is abundantly evident from these scriptures that the people of God as a body and as individuals in the body cannot receive a revelation from God and know the things of God in any other way than by the prophet. God said so, and the Apostle Paul says over here in the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, which again, you know, I dearly love to quote you, I think it's about verse 36, if not 37, What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? That's all the word of God. You never got one drop. You never had one moment from God for God to talk to you. God talked to a prophet, and the prophet talked to faithful ministers of the fivefold order, and they brought the word, or you do not have salvation. You say, what if my neighbor told me? Where did he get the word? Remember, we are not dealing with personal leadings and problems. Those come under gifts. They're in the little room where they're tested. I would suggest that this church put a little room here and try your leadings before you get astray and be condemned. You say, Brother Vail, are we on the verge of it? You are on the verge of it, on the brink of the precipice. You do what you want. I told you back in 1980, they preached a series on the Holy Spirit. This church would go forward or backward, depending how they take the word. These tapes are going around the country. Ministers tell me, Lee, I took the material what you preached. My church has changed. I've not lied to you. And I'm not lying now. What I'm talking about as concerning inspiration, that which is inspired of God into the prophets, it is not that which deals with personal leadings and problems. Those are in order of the gifts of the Spirit. This which I am talking of deals with God's redemptive plan, what God has to say about His so great salvation. That does not mean that every church or every generation must have a prophet sent from God, by no means. It is abundantly clear in Amos. It means that whatever God wants set forth for any given time and for whatever period of time, for the law ran out, it was only for a time, must come in this way. And the revelation is so conclusive as to His word and man's performance of His will by it through faith, man's participation in it, that the prophetic revelation holds good until there is a time for a change, a juncture, a turning of a corner, if you will. We read again in Amos, the 3rd chapter, so you know that I am not pulling a bluff on you. And what the prophet said was correct. Surely the Lord will do nothing. I want to ask you a question. Was he sitting on his thumbs all this time till Amos came along? Was he sitting back picking his brains in his nose? Where was Moses? Where was Isaiah? Where was Jeremiah? Where was Ezekiel? Where was Samuel? Where was David? Right there. Where was God? Right there. That's why Brother Branham said when Moses came on the scene, he didn't go to Noah's message. He didn't say, let us build an ark and float down the Nile. It wouldn't work. Ran out. It was finished. Jesus never came along and went to Moses. He said, Moses, throw to me. If you'd have caught it, you'd have got it, he said. Amos is saying, here, I want to tell you something. I'm a prophet. And being a prophet, I know the ways of the prophet. I know what they're for. I know what God has said about the prophets. And He will do nothing, and He is about to do something. Something He has not done before. Or revealed in a certain light and manner before. He's going to do it now. And He's got servants that are called prophets. And if you haven't got one at a juncture, you're out of luck. Then tell me, do we need a prophet when God gives the message back to the Gentiles? I mean, to Jews from the Gentiles. See, there's where people mess up. They don't understand. All right, let me show you. Let us go to Exodus, the 6th chapter, and see this very carefully. And I'm taking my time this morning. I intend to do so. So So this will go over nobody's heads, but deep down within the heart. 6:3. I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, but by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. This is in Exodus. By my name Jehovah, I was not known unto them. Plural. I wonder if God told the truth. No, he didn't. As far as the casual reader is concerned. Because in Genesis 20:22-14, 400 years before, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. But he said, you didn't know my name. Jehovah. Genesis 23:14 is taken from the root word of 3068, which is taken from 1961. 1961 in strong concordance says, Haya, to exist. That is to become. Now, how can God be everlasting, never change, and still become? He changes his mask. He works out his principles. Come to pass. Always emphatic and never as an auxiliary, showing he stands alone. God, I alone. Where's your Trinitarian dogma now? 3068, from which it is taken. Self-existent, eternal, now listen, Jewish national name. Previously, God's name Jehovah was not known to a nation. Was known to individuals. But now he works with a nation and reveals himself. Are you thinking? Your eyes are batting around. I'll have to think for you. Until the last elected bride member comes in, it is individual. After that, it is corporate. What then could be the new name under the thunders? Not a new name, but a new revelation of the same name for the same hour. I'm not saying I'm right, but just think. And don't go way out into Never Never Land. It's all in the book. Even a casual study of the Bible shows the prophet's intimacy with God. Intimacy. John said, I turned to see the voice. In the Greek, that means conversational. The voice talks to me and I will talk to the voice. I believe it. I have done it. And I purpose to see more of it. You say, are you a prophet? No, I'm not a prophet. Don't have to be for this. What I'm talking about is personal leading. I'm not bringing you revelation from our redemption from God. I'm teaching what the prophet brought, what God gave him. Just look at Balaam. And he not even placed in Israel, yet as a prophet, was absolutely one with God. I repeat, absolutely one with God as far as the prophecy to Israel was concerned. He got the right prophecy at the right time because he was a prophet. But he wasn't in the corporate body. And though he himself was not of the election, what proof this shows that the prophet is categorized as speaking for God. Notice what this man said in Numbers, the 24th chapter, when Balak rebuked him because he did not prophesy good for Balak. And he said, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, and believe me, Balaam wanted it. But he got stuck. I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to either do good or bad of my own mind. Now notice he said to do either good or bad of my own mind, because what the prophet said stuck. God backed it up and brought it to pass. Then don't sit here this morning. You try to bring it to pass. Had that microphone been handed back to me Sunday morning as I asked Jack to do it, but he failed to do it, I'd have stood behind Terry and said, Quincy, you've heard it the second time. What are you going to do about it? It is not God plus anything. It is God. I can do nothing in my own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. That ought to make us think. Mechanics are only to the elect. It didn't do Balaam one bit of good. When this message goes to the denominations, which it will, it's all over. You can win a whole nation to Christ, said Brother Brand, quoting from this message. And Brother Harold Marconda quoted it to me. You can go around the world and win a nation with this message and do absolutely no good. What if some of you are leading souls to Christ? And I do not denigrate it. I stay right with it. That is what you should do. Everybody should do. Be a soul winner. But what if you're off this word? What happens? Win the town. Win the nation. The prophet said it wouldn't do any good. Because if the mechanics are not identical to the prophets, the dynamics cannot fall on it. See, the prophet is one with God in word. Do you hear what I said? The prophet is one with God in word. He is not necessarily super duper everything. He can be fallible. He can be like Elijah in wrath, call out the bear to kill the kids. He can be like Moses, smite the rock and glorify himself. But in the word, he is one with God. Let it sink in. The prophet, the living word of God to the people. Why? Because he's there living. Oh, you say, but not according to my standard. Wonderful, you legalist. Go and get circumcised. Join the Jewish church. You just repudiated God. The prophet is the living word of God made manifest, quote William Branham. I believe Feast of the Trumpets. The word brought to life in a prophet. The word of the hour in man's hour. Manifest the hour of God in which we're in. He's a God of the hour. He's not the God of the Pentecostals anymore. Sorry about that. Brother Branham said, the very God you say you worship will destroy you. The chaff. Birds. He is only God to the elect and the foolish virgin. And you can do what you want about it. Though he is God to all in the indirect sense, but I am speaking of the direct because I am dealing with man, God, and a prophet. And only the elect can know the things of God. The prophet, God to the people. The prophet, what is it? But God was in the prophets, God speaking in them. That's hard to take. That God would be in the prophets, that God would be in the prophets in a measure and a formula which is not an ordinary man, though he be born again. They say, well, bless God, I don't know the things of God. You never had the Holy Ghost the first place. You shut your mouth off. You got an anointing. That's right. I'm not lying to you. You just shut your mouth. I showed you were. No more got the Holy Ghost or nothing. If you think in this hour you can have a revelation apart from a prophet. It was vindicated. Never God declaring without a prophet. Never a prophet declaring without God. They are one word. Well, aren't they? You say, Brother Vail, they have one word. Then you have made God not the word. Because God was in the prophet speaking. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But no man can see the Father, only the attributes. Try to tell me you see the life that's in that poppy seed. You're cooked out. Show me the poppy. And you say, that is the poppy. I say, true in one sense of the word. False in another sense. What you see are the attributes in the seed, but you can't see the life in the seed. And when they saw Jesus, they did not see God, yet they did see God. That's why he was man, but he was God. Notice how the prophet would quickly check himself. They are one word. And by grace and condescension, one flesh. You don't believe that, do you? Because you got sex drive. Women have too. At the right time, they're just a trap to any man, and any man's a trap to them. Jesus had sex drive too. You say, I don't believe that. You don't believe the word. Tempted in all points like as we. Don't like that, do you? I like it. Gets me off the hook. One flesh. See, the prophet does not seek it. If he sought it and boasted, it would prove that he was phony as a $3 bill. Prophets seek nothing. It comes to them, they fear it, and they flee. But as Jeremiah said, he was altogether in my tongue. I could not help it. And Balaam said, I am beyond myself. And the voice that spoke out of William Branham said, this is not Brother Branham speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with it? I would categorize him as a spiritist because that's all Pentecost anybody knows. If such a message came forth, it would have to be the devil. I have news for you. The devil can do nothing except it was already done right the first time. The prophet, God to the people. God speaking in him. Never declaring himself, only God, one word. And it comes to him. Then what about those to whom the prophet comes? As in John 13 and 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, and understand this is always in the triplicate, not the double, a peculiar phrase in the Greek that means under no consideration whatsoever, under no plan whatsoever, in no way whatsoever is this anything but absolutely the ultimate of God. He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Well, you say, that could be the Holy Ghost. I got news for you. Jesus came back as the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, I'm sending myself. He said, the Father would send. So let's keep our little Pentecostal hogwash out of our minds this morning, shall we? Our Baptist stupid dogma. Our Methodist. Nazarene Christian Missionary Alliance, putrefied corruption out of our minds and read it the way it is. God sends men. Now, what's a prophet sent for? To speak to us face to face, as God cannot do, because his plan was to do it once, and the people turned, and he said, from now on, it will never be face to face. It'll never be pillar of fire. It will always be a prophet. Now, he said this, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. Then what if a man turns that one down and still claims Christ? He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. You say, Brother Vail, be charitable. You mean I should spit in God's face? You do it. I'm going to heaven. If you wish to go to hell, that's your business. I'll be frank with you. Just be my guest. I won't worry about what goes where and what doesn't go where. That's up to you. Don't worry about it. Jesus prayed in John 17. all who believe, he says there, may be one in us as we are one in each other. Now, do you think he said that for window dressing? Or you say, that's a very nice little saying there, but, you know, it's the way people talk, you know. This isn't people talking, this is God talking. And he was in God, because he was the Logos, the Word, and the Logos is God. In the beginning was Elohim, and Elohim was the Word, and Elohim was God. That's why he said, you receive what I send, you receive me, and receiving me, receive the Father. And because the Word was in Jesus the prophet, all of the Word, he was all of God to the people, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was all of the redemption of the redeeming God, and that which pertained to it. That's why in him standing here in God, and God was in him is the millennium. In him is Mount Zion. In him is everything. And he said, we are all one in this hour. And in redemption, it is God telling us what he is doing. And how does he tell us what he is doing? He tells us what he is doing by the prophet. Now, we ask, but how is it done? How does God work it? This which he is doing. He sends the prophet. And all who believe are one redeemed body. One wife. And not tomorrow. Now is salvation come to your house, said he. And salvation is the word sozo, which is healing, deliverance, and soundness, and preservation, which is Malachi 4 and 2, the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings, and you will tread down the wicked, and there'll be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this. Did I do what? Rise with healing in my wings. And because I rise with healing in my wings, you'll go forth as calves of the stall. Because I rise with healing in my wings, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's preservation, there's immortality. Now in the last message I brought out, that's Wednesday night, how God places His works of grace amongst the people and fulfills His word of grace in the people by a prophet. If by grace it is not of our asking, but of His giving. Blessed is the man whom thou causest, choosest, rather. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thy throne. It doesn't say one thing about the man wanting to approach. A. First, there is a promise given to start it. God always starts each prophet, like Moses, going right to the word of promise and identifies himself with that promise. So A, promise. B, He has already birthed a prophet for that hour. If it is not for the hour, there is no prophet. He told Moses, this is the hour. I've raised you up to it. It says concerning Jesus, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son. It was at that time that John came forth. If there is not a time for it, there is no prophet. And if there is a prophet, there is a time for something. Find out what it is. See, God manifests Himself and His word to the prophet, who has a proven ministry of the word to vindicate the same to the people. The prophet doesn't just come and blow his mouth off, because anybody can blow his mouth off and give an accurate prediction. It's got to be a scriptural vindication. We saw that in Deuteronomy. D. The prophet explains to the people what is transpiring. Now the people grasp the word of the hour and become one with the word. They are the word in flesh. Now, watching God manifest Himself and watching that prophet does not bring you the clue. It means that prophet has got to reveal exactly what he is doing, because God has appeared in signs and wonders. According to Bible evidence, then He's got to tell us. He's got to explain it. That's why Brother Branham was so close and so true when he said a prophet is a revealer. And if you go back to the original etymology, you will find a prophet is a revealer. They are the word in flesh. And they are gathered to Christ by the prophet. Behold, I send you prophets, scribes, wise men and scribes, and you kill them. How often would I have gathered thy children together? He does it by the prophet. So therefore, over in the second book of Thessalonians, the second chapter and the first verse, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, requires a prophet. He does it by a prophet. Now, there was a prophet sent of God and vindicated by God in this hour. And as usual, the people did not expect Him and were puzzled as to His identity. As it says in Luke 3:15, who are you anyway? Are you that prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you this? Are you that? And he said, no. I'll tell you what I am. I'm identifying myself as Isaiah 40 and Malachi 3. I am the forerunner, the pointer out of Him who is God in the midst. And as Brother Branham said, John went down into that water and the word of God came to the prophet. Precisely, exactly as it should be. Jesus admits this principle in Luke 17 and 20 when they came and said, what about the kingdom of God appearing? And He said, when it appears, you won't even recognize it. It'll be under your nose. Then, if it's under your nose and you don't recognize it, somebody's got to give you the earmarks. Somebody's got to point it out. Who's going to point it out? Prophet. God's His own prophet. He identified Himself in Christ. But our prophet's identity lay in Deuteronomy 18:15. That is that prophet of Deuteronomy 18:15. And we're talking about the identification of our prophet with God, because you can never identify a prophet outside of God. And you cannot identify God outside of a prophet. I don't care what anybody says. That's the Bible. We care less what people think. Brother Branham tagged it right. They were reformers from the time of Paul. For 2,000 years, we haven't had a prophet speak lip to ear since the time of Moses. I mean, Paul the Apostle, until this day when William Branham heard from God directly face to face, as it were. Looking at the pillar of fire. All right. That prophet must come in the name of the Lord. And what he says absolutely will be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was Elohim, who was once here in flesh, but we don't know him after the flesh anymore. Then how are you going to know him? You're going to know him by the Spirit. But who is Spirit? God is Spirit. And he's revealing himself in our midst this morning. I've been teaching for almost 2 years on the subject, to bring out Logos and to show you so that you may know the Son. And you sit here, some of you, you don't even like to come to church. You're soon to be someplace else because you're getting bored. You want to hear something else. It's your privilege. Now, I'm a little rough on you, but you got it coming to you. If the shoe fits, wear it. If the cap fits, wear it. If it doesn't, just fine and dandy. Now, the identification of that prophet. See, because there's got to be a body, there has got to be a flesh, or there is no word. Oh, you say, Brother Bale, I can't take it. Well, let's go back to the time God became a prophet. When? In the Garden of Eden. And who was there? Adam. Flesh. You say God without flesh, you don't know your battle. A little shot of repentance would do you good. Now listen. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, that same one in Deuteronomy is brought up again. But this time it says restoration, which was not back when he was here on earth in flesh and died upon Calvary, which was not here when he rose from the dead, but can only be here at a certain time. That takes you to Malachi. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, or I'll burn the whole thing up. That takes you to Matthew 17. Elijah shall truly first come before that burning and that millennium to restore. He said, Elijah shall restore. I will restore. Who's doing it? God, by a prophet and in a prophet. I'm very, very hard to get along with when it comes even to myself on these scriptural things, because I know word is word, and there are too many people, because they say a thing, it's got to be right. It doesn't got to be right. I stood in Don Ruddle's pulpit one night, preaching on William Branham, prophet of God, the word of God, and I heard myself say as clearly as you will hear my voice on your ears, you were not looking at a man, you were looking at God. I did not say it. A spirit said it. Without going any further, not being a prophet, not being acute, not being aware, my mind quickly flashed. And I said, what was it? It was God in the prophet. I still won't take that back. Because if God was not in William Branham, he was not a prophet. If God did not speak in William Branham, he was not a prophet. But if the earmarks were there, then he was a prophet, and it was God in human flesh. Oh, you can do what you want with it. Maybe your Presbyterian legalistic background is too much for it. Don't feel bad. It took me 17 years to get around that. Just like drinking water. Knowing he's here is just like eating an apple. Only it's much more wonderful. Knowing he's here, and that I'm going with him, and what he's doing, it's just like going in and out of my house. Because you see, eternal life is nothing but a continuation of this one, reborn into a right place. Did you follow what I said? Did you believe what I said? You don't believe what I said. You haven't even got it.
Because you think you're going to be somebody else. You think it's going to be another life. You're wrong. He's the God of Abraham, and Abraham is not dead. He's resurrected. What life? And Adam God breathed in Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. In him was all those children, and they separated from God. That's where Jones and Nitta, these guys, got all mixed up. They don't believe that separation is death, but there's a second death, which is annihilation. So they talk about the man dying, and this and that dying, the other thing dying.
Get your doctrine right, brother, sister. Or the Holy Ghost won't fall. Do you believe this? You think this morning for 1 minute I would have what I have from God this morning? And listen, the testimonies come from around the world. Let us not kid ourselves. Terry Sproul, the one that you heard Sunday morning, waited over to talk with me. Sat in our motel room with tears in his eyes. Said, Lee, I want to tell you how you saved my life. He said, when the church split and Judy went into a nervous breakdown, had to take her to Hawaii, they wrote on his house in black paint, Terry is a fag and Judy is a whore. Isn't that nice? In this message, yes. Get this flat. Crows, crows, crows can eat dove food, but doves don't eat crow food. She went into a tailspin. The church split. Everything an ungodly mess. And the preacher said, Terry, bring in Samuel Johnson, bring in Nathaniel Johnson, bring in this man, bring in that man. Get the church revved up. Get it all happy. Get it away from their troubles. Get it away from their sorrows. And you'll see the church begin to move. And he phoned me. And he said, Lee, your advice was 100% different. I don't even remember him calling. And he said, you said, Terry, do what I did in my days of my sorrow when I had my trouble with Brother Bingaman. Don't think it didn't cost me something. You don't treat a man 27 years like a son and suddenly break. Get that flat. Get that flat, church. You let me down. You'll pay for it. I won't, although I'm paying in my body right today because of it. Our difference was real. I can look Rich in the eye and prove what I said. I can look at Gene in the eye, and I can look Bill, and look in the eye and prove. I said, do what I did. I was wrong. The last time. I said, Terry, do what I did. My sanity was all but gone. My body broken. I came home to rest, having confidence in a man that I loved like a son, in a church like I loved like my children. They would understand and know. Yeah. I'm not bitter about it. I'm just telling you the truth. Do what you want. It's on tape. Threw me for slander. Go ahead. I'll answer you back, and I got the money to answer back. I'll cook this thing in the fire you never dreamed of. I had preachers phone me, lace me up one side and down the other, make me illegitimate and rotten. So I was ready to blow my brains out. You're not looking at a guy that hasn't paid a price. Don't sit there and look at me. You've got your nice cushy jobs. You don't even know what life is all about yet. But you're going to know. You're going to know, because this is the green tree waiting to get dry. It's got to happen to guys like me first, so just watch it. And I said, Terry... And I told Brother Ray the same thing. I phoned him and told him do what I did. And here's what I did. I went down in my study and got with the prophet's word and the word of God. And I sat there before Almighty God, reading his word and meditating until suddenly like billboards 15 to 20 feet high. And the word of God forming before me, letters 4 feet high. And I came out of there with a victory last Wednesday. The same thing happened. I got one word back. What has been going on here? And it wasn't my conscience that said it. It was another voice outside that said, why didn't you just do the same thing you could have done back there? And my body's aching right now to even talk about it. It's being racked with pain as I even mention it. The pressure's so great, the doctor looked at my face. He said, what is the matter with you? What is your pressure? What is going on? Is it your wife? I said, no, the most wonderful girl in the world. The marriage is wonderful. He said, is it your job? I said, no. I wouldn't give it up for $1 billion. It's the most satisfying thing in my life. I've come, the world would say, I have arrived.
He said, what is it? I said, it's a problem, isn't it? And he said, why don't you bleep them? Terry Sproul went through the same thing. I said, Terry, go to your study, do what I did. Don't let any man in that pulpit. Take it over. Get with God until that word is so real and God is so real. You come out there charged in dynamism with billboards 30 feet high, letters 12 feet high. And he said, Lee, it saved my life. I get phone calls all the time. Well, not all the time, but enough to make me feel good. I sit with people, I get their letters. And they say, Lee, you'll never recognize our church. This word, my brother, my sister, I don't stand here telling you that I have no fear, I have no guilt. It's real, I don't. I can't explain it. I cannot explain it, I just have to tell it. You do what you want. Now, the boom is lower this morning because I'll let you tell you the truth. This is the last time I'll preach in this church. And I'm going to tell you all why. The gentlest, the nicest I can, but it's with you, not with me. I hate to hurt your feelings, but let's get this. Matthew 17 is Acts 3. Acts 3 is Malachi 4, 1-6. Malachi 4, 1-6 is Revelation 1-7, 10, 1-7. Now remember and don't ever forget, God has to have a prophet. Oh, God, be it far from you to have a prophet. God doesn't have to have anything. Hallelujah, God is God. That's the kind of God I know. You are a stupid idiot, a spiritual jerk. Your God is an amorphous lump of nothing. God has definition. God has form, or he couldn't be God. There is nothing without form that can exist and be identified. God has limitations. Yeah. If you don't believe it, we got engineers here. Two of the smartest men. Well, I don't know how smart Joe is, but I know that Gene's honored across the nation. Tell me, Gene, can you measure anything that has no measurement? No way. Well, you say, well, I'll do what this great guy did. I'll immerse it in a tub of water. What if you can't get it in the tub of water? I'll take a picture. What if it doesn't picture? If it can't be measured, there's nothing you can say about it. Oh, you say, Brother Dale, I don't believe it. All right, hold it. Here's key. Here's watch. Or you say, those are objects, I can think them. You still don't get the point. There is nothing here without measurement. Nothing without measurement. Measurement is definitive. If you can't measure, forget it. Oh, Brother Dale, I have a practiced eye. I will cut the rafters for your house. Hogwash you. Well, I'll take a buckshot and fill your rear end full of peppered buckshot. You're not going to cut my rafters just looking at them. You're not going to cut my rafters out of square. Your house marks, you think. I've seen guys try to do it. Put shingles on without a line. God has to have a prophet. Does it sunk in? Hasn't, has it? I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm not trying to beat anybody down. You think I don't love you? Sure, I love you. Why do you think I'm here? That has got a thing to do with it. Sure, I love you. I'm trying to wake you up. Brother Branham said, somebody's got to tell him. And I told you, either I make you laugh or I club you over the head so hard you don't dare forget. You smart enough, you begin to look. God has to have a prophet. Brother Branham, prophet of God. Irenaeus, great student. Student of Polycarp, was the student of John, said, God being a Savior, it was necessary by reason of that factor he predestinated a sinner in order to give God himself reason and purpose of being. God being a healer, it was necessary God predestinate a man who'd require healing to give himself a reason and purpose of being. God being what he was had to have a prophet. No prophet, no God, no God, no prophet. When it comes to revelation redemption, God has to have a prophet, the prophet has to have God.
How do you know he got the right one?
The two are separate people, yet inseparable, for it is one word. Oh, Brother Bale, the prophet's word, the word to God, the prophet's word, the word to God, the prophet's word, the word to God.
Well, do your tippy-toe dance somewhere else before I cut your ankles off. The prophet doesn't have a word. The prophet doesn't have a word. He is nothing but a sounding board. A Charlie McCarthy on the knee of an Edgar Bergen. I'll glorify it by the proper terminology now that you know what I'm saying. He is the reflector of God.
Even Jesus said in John 4, 6 to 26, and I won't take time to read it, but skip over to John 6, 60 to 60, which is better, 60 to 66. Many therefore disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew within himself his disciples murmured, he said, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth it. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are light. Notice the words that I speak are spirit and life. If God is in the prophet speaking, what are those words?
Oh, Brother Dale, Brother Branham said so-and-so. Brother Branham did not say so-and-so.
If Brother Branham said it, spit on it, burn it, jump on it, throw it in the gutter, and say, hallelujah, God, I did you a favor, and the voice will answer back, well done, my son, you stood for me.
Yeah? You follow me? I'm not kidding you. This is on tape. Your Brother Branham said it.
One Brother Branham.
God said it. There are so many, many things I would tell you. To scream out within me to tell you. And put it into sermons, not just a phrase, but listen. God in sundry times and divers manners, in many parts, in many ways, in time past spake unto the fathers in the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. But what? Whose voice was the next voice? He said, I'll raise him up at the last day. That is not true. God raises him up at the last day. So who was in God saying it? Jesus said, all the Father giveth me will come to me. That's what he said, anointed of God as the truth speaking as that man. And that God within him answered back. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Wonderful. Wonderful. I want to get you off the tax I put you on. But to me it's wonderful that God should do that. So unmistakably clear. See, there won't... Listen, my brother, sister, don't you see why there'll not be one tongue that can answer back in the judgment? That is why no one dare to rise up against God. That there is only one way you'll get anywhere in a time of a juncture. When God begins to change and turn that corner, if you and I don't have a prophet, we're out of the picture. Because he categorically said, if I do not send Elijah, I'll burn it all up. Oh, you say, but, shut up, don't but. Let's get this flat. God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. He's not a comic like me. He's not a stand-up jerk. After 17 years of prophet gone, we're only just beginning to get serious about what's gone on. He said, I'll annihilate if I don't send Elijah. Oh, but Lord, hallelujah. Jesus stands there, blessed be God, and he paid the price. Oh, hallelujah.
Just keep it up. You'll be burning, screaming your hallelujahs. Because you see, you don't believe God. Oh, you say, but Brother Bill, that's just a little verse. One word is all he's got off. And the first church age got off on 3 points. They were no longer virgin. They had a false word. They had a false spirit. They had a false Jesus. What do you think we got today? Oh, please don't ask that question. I wouldn't have the least idea. Just thank God a prophet came. And thank God if I even see 0.01% of what he taught. Thank God I see that. Thank God what I do see. I know it is God. I don't have to see it all. But I know that it is all there. Yeah. He said, it is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak are spirit and they are life. In other words, whatever your revelation in mind is, whatever we draw a conclusion to means nothing. If God has already said something, and he has said it. Now listen, in Jesus' day, see what happened in John 10:22-38. And I don't want to take a lot of time reading that either. You can read it for yourself. The Feast of Dedication. He walked in Solomon's porch. They said, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And he said, I told you and you believe not. He told them his words, and they said, hogwash, that's not the way we got to figure it out. So forget it. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. What's that? That's the Father talking in the Son. You better believe it. Neither man pluck them out of my hand. Now the Son says, my Father gave them me as great an arm. No man will pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Certainly he was one. The Son could say one thing, the Father back it up. The Son say a thing, the Father back it up. They're one. Back up in one man. Let me tell you something. When God gets a hold of us with that one word in this last hour, one with him, he backs up in you and me everything he said. I won't tell you a little secret. I would have, but it's going too far. Jesus, they took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you, my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And they said, for a good work we do not stone thee, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. That was the lies in the pit of hell. Jesus did not make himself God. God made him God. Jesus answered, it is not written in your law, ye are gods. If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came, that's the prophets. And the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him when the Father is sanctified, sent of the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now listen, the very works in Deuteronomy 18 were performed by William Marion Branham. Identifying absolutely that God was in him. How much and how much, don't ask me. I'm willing to believe the fullness was there. I care less if God was in a doorknob. And he could get all in a doorknob. That satisfies me fine. I don't have a bit of trouble. God was in the prophets. God was in William Branham. And best of all, to my satisfaction, I have the sperm of God in me. And the Father that begat me by his own sperm is right here today. I believe it. Yes, sir, I believe it. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. With Israel, it never got past the works. Never got past the works. Now, works merely vindicate that they were done by the Father. They were no more than a sign. But the Word was God. And they turned it down. Don't stop at the sign. Go to where the sign points in discernment, as in discernment. When Brother Branham taught me, way back when I was with him, he said, Lee, he said, look, he said, the people are missing it. He said, they're looking at the wrappings on the loaf of the bread instead of getting to the bread. They come in here and they look at the discernment and they get all appalled. They don't know that the discernment is telling them they got it. And they turn it down flat and they walk right on. And the message of, and the prophetic ministry of Brother Branham, as vindicated by God, pointed to that word. And when we went to that word, we had it. See? Oh, it's hard to understand, but it's real. God will show you someday. Now, what was the word that Now, what was the word that was God in the prophet at that moment? At that time, in other words, what was that word that was there? That word at that time, which I read, was 24 to 30. All the Father giveth me, and so on. And none can pluck them out of my Father's hand. But notice, he said here, for what good work do you stone me? And they, 33. Yeah. Thou being a man, makest thyself God. He was a man, but he was God. A prophet is a man, but when that word, that spirit is in him, he is God. As Brother Branham said, when the word was in Moses, he was God. Now so far, so good. We have come this far. But what are we looking at still? Because this is, I am giving you preamble for what I'm leading up to. And I'm going to cut this part short as I can. Though I don't like it because it could comprise half a dozen sermons. Now, we are looking to see why God is here. Because if a prophet is here, God is here. If God is here, a prophet is here. And if we hear the prophet, we know exactly why God is here. And if we don't hear the prophet, we don't know why God is here. Now back in Exodus, the fourth chapter, and we'll go back to it to just start ourselves off again. Much as I don't like taking the time and I'm wearing myself down, we go here. Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto you. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? He said, a rod. Then he goes through all those motions there. And he says, now you can prove by this that I have surely spoken unto you, because you could never do this before. You never had it. Now you've got it. 10 to 12. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore, nor since that thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now he said, why don't thou listen? If I've got these wonderful gifts and I'm supposed to do everything you tell me, why don't you make me fluent? He said, I'm just the same guy that you started with. And Moses, God said, that's exactly right. Oh, if he were the prophet, he'd fly around and walk on hot coals, and he'd zig and he'd zag and he'd flim and he'd flam. Not a real prophet. He just sits there like an ordinary hillbilly. Oh, he doesn't mess with women, drink liquor, chaw tobacco. He's a rebuke to the unclean, but he just sits there. Sure he does. The Lord said, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or the deaf, or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go now and be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send, and so on. Now, you will notice in here that what God promised is that, look, you don't need to worry about anything that you've got or what you don't got, because I'm going to do it. And you just stand there like a dummy. And Brother Branham said, I was no more than a voice, and that against my better judgment. All I wanted to do was skin skunks and smell like a skunk. Poor hope, merciful God. That was his ambition. Skunk Skinner. I like it. He lets you know that it had nothing to do with William Branham. I have no more to do with it than nothing. If that's not giving him preeminence, you tell me what is. See, he was a real prophet. See? Okay, number one. Now we're talking about Exodus here. In Exodus. Now, God said, you're going to go down there, and I'm going to give you the signs, I'm going to give you the wonders, and I'm going to be with you. And you don't need to worry about your mouth. See, Moses might have had a facile mind, but there was something wrong with the linkage from the mind to the mouth. And God said, hey man, you don't need to worry about that. Forget it. Because what I'm going to do doesn't have a thing to do with the mouth. And when it has to do with the mouth, I'm going to put the words in your mouth. And in spite of the fact that God gave Aaron to Moses, Moses still has to talk to Aaron. He might as well have talked to them all. That's what bugs me. I go in these meetings and the people wear me plumb to death. They can't sit and listen to the word come forth. They got to come running to me. Talk, talk, talk. Talk, talk, talk. All night, all long. Well, I enjoy it, I admit, because if I can help them, that's what I'm here for. People ran to William Branham. Why couldn't they just sit and listen? Brother Branham categorically said God gave Israel a pillar of fire which was God and a prophet and would have taken them right in, and they wanted a law. Brother Branham, how should we do? Brother Branham, how should we do? Brother Branham, what should we do? Why don't they shut up and listen? God doesn't have a special case for you people from a prophet. He should be in that room. He brings the word. Of course, he did a lot of discernment privately. That was in order this nation is so unbelieving, and this is the end time. That's why God did it, to condemn this nation. Good old Daniel figured out one man's dream the guy had forgotten and interpreted, and people still go wild over it. William Branham did dozens, and they said, yeah, who does he think he is? You talk about hypocrites. Sealed in hypocrites. All right, listen. We're talking about the prophet. Why was the prophet Moses sent? What was he to do? Why is our prophet here? Why is God with him? In other words, why is God here with the prophet? One, he is here to warn us that he has taken over and time has run out. Revelation 10:1-6, the mighty messenger, the one on the throne, came down and he raised his hand and said, time run out. It's back in my hand. It's all over for the people. Now, I'm not going to preach a sermon on these because, look, there's too many points. Number two, he is here to open the seals to prove time has run out and that consummation is here. In Revelation 22, he said, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. And in Daniel 12, it says, seal it up until the time runs out. Time has run out. Number three, he is here to save the righteous from perishing with the wicked. Malachi 4:1-2. But unto you shall the sun of righteousness rise with healing in his wings when the rest of the earth is gone and burned entirely. Number four, he is here to save the elect from deceit. What is the sign of thy presence? Deceit, deceit, deceit. But don't worry, I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. That's in Matthew 24:3-26. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:11-17, where Paul said, but thou, blessed beloved of the Lord, you're not going to fall for this trap because God has delivered you by the truth. You're not going to be there with the Antichrist. God's brought you the truth. Number five, he is here to seal in the wise virgins, as in Matthew 25:6-10. God himself will do what no man can do, restore her to virginity, as in 2 Corinthians 11:4. Number six, he is here to separate the chaff from the wheat, as in Malachi 3:12, and Revelation chapter 22, the wicked from the righteous, unrighteous, and in Malachi 4:1-2, the righteous from the wicked. It's the same thing. He is here to raise the dead, as in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 1 Thessalonians 4. He is here to change the living in 1 Thessalonians 15:49. Number 9, he is here to put us in the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4. Number 10, he is here to put us in the millennium, Malachi 4:2. Number 11, he is here to seal us in, for the token has expired. Ephesians 1. Until the day of redemption, the token stands as the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But from that time on, it no longer stands because they're all in and God himself comes down and takes over. And on we could go. As according to Luke 1, let's read it because I want to show you this. And I'm sorry I'm very hasty this morning. But you understand what I've said here is on tape that gives you your clues. And you can read it for yourself and study for yourself. But notice what it says in Luke 1:33-38. Now, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall also conceive a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that is called barren. Now listen. Let's get this plant. God appearing according to his promise to do the exact thing that he would do in the exact way he wanted it done. And Mary said, how shall this thing be? And then he tells her, then watch in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. But you read it wrong all your life. It doesn't say what you think it says. For you said with God, God can do anything. But the interpreters lied in your teeth. It means when God is with you personally. When God stands there. Because that's what he did when he created that egg and that sperm in that womb. When God stands there, nothing is impossible. I read you 11 points.
If he's here, everything I've said is true. You say, Brother Dale, in my present state, I don't understand how it can be. Let me tell you, brother, sister, in my present state, I had given up. But I said the right thing. There's no use not believing. I might as well believe. And the hand reached down and turned me around. You're not looking at a man up here of great character. Don't think for 1 minute. I've got a little bit of it hidden way back in my back pocket somewhere under the bed. Fruit? Who knows and who cares? Because I don't trade mine. I'd sooner know that the left hand did not know what the right hand does. Because that's a little more strict than this other way of doing things. Near to God? How near is near? Obedience? How much does anybody obey him? None of those things. Power? I've been all through the charismatic. I didn't play spiritual leapfrog like Lloyd did, but I had a mighty good time since. Oh, yeah. Fall there. People falling down is not a God that they fall down. They don't fall down, they're pushed down. I don't have those things, and yet I do. But that wouldn't do. God sent a prophet. And when he sent that prophet, he didn't send that prophet. He came with that prophet. And because the dead are not raised, the Holy Ghost is still here. They tell me in the Columbus meeting that on the Friday night, a man shot his mouth off as loud as he could to say, well, the Holy Ghost is not here. That's right, he wasn't there to him. He's perfectly right. Another man teaches that no man has the latter rain. He's perfectly right, he doesn't. Because you can't testify to what you don't have. I'm going to testify again in his presence. I have no sense of guilt. I have no sense of fear. And everything that's as natural as walking in and out of this room. And I have one secret, and I get low down, 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 down. And he told me what that secret was. Get your eyes on what belongs to the bride. Now, Israel saw the works and died in the wilderness under Titus. Those who looked at the word and received it were the fortunate ones. Those receiving the word identified themselves as the elect. Judas couldn't receive the word. He wasn't elect. Today we are still looking at works, or are we looking at the word of the prophet and thereby getting it all? Oh yes, God has come to do many things, and he is doing many things. But one thought sums it all up. He came to us, among us, with and in a prophet, whose word and God's word was one. And the prophet said, thus it has been spoken, and thus it will be, and that was not William Branham, and that was not William Branham's word, that was God. You say, do you believe it, Brother Bale? I wouldn't preach it and believe it. I'm pretty good at being a hypocrite, but I'm not that big a hypocrite. I'm pretty nauseous as a fool, but I won't make you puke that much. No, I'm honest before you. When I started you a bit with my language, it's all right. You're not dying. You need it. I don't stand here as any self-righteous, virtuous person. But I'm going to tell you, there's somebody standing here before me who is. And he told me what he told me 45 years ago, and I spit in his face. Yeah, I spit in God's face. I'm going to get news to you. I don't do it anymore. It's not just that I'm running scared because it doesn't pay, but I love him as I never loved him before. Oh, yes, he's here. But what is he here for? That we may parade as peacocks before him and vaunt ourselves as those who are the very elect. It says, at that time when he appears, the living shall not take precedence, shall not take a preeminence over those that are dead. No, little child. It's just as though you were dead and had to have him to raise you. So you need him now to change you. You're not one bit different. We've sung too long, we'll give the glory to Jesus. Have we really done it? We'll give all the glory to Jesus. Or do we see him who is the Word? And in the cyclotron of the Spirit of Life Word, turn into his image, being turned by him alone, of whom it is said over here in the book of Romans 11 chapter 33 to 36, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord or been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall not be recompensed unto him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. There's nothing you can give God. Forget it. Well, you say, Brother Bale, I'll give my life. Hogwash.
You could no more give your life than nothing unless God was in it. Because what if you didn't want it? What if you weren't called? He's bringing me back to what he told me. Get your eyes on the on only that which is for the bride. And I never realized till the day after, the day before yesterday, the bride has the bridegroom. And I thought, how beautiful. Get your eyes on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who are the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame, and has now set down the right hand of the majesty on high. You have not yet resisted sin. You have not resisted unto blood striving against sin. He was in the garden of Gethsemane, and sweat poured out of the berry, the blood poured out of the sweat pores. Desolation is the day when before Sodom that Abraham stood there and God came down. So I'm going to bring forth the Son in flesh. 2 Thessalonians, you are troubled, rest with us, relax. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall reveal heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance, those seven mighty angels coming down, setting the thing in order, setting judgment in the land. Oh yeah. Brother Branham thought absolutely right according to Revelation. He said to Jack Moore, what does that long white hair mean? And Jack said, oh, the veneration and this and that. And the voice said, no, that's not it at all. And one day said, it's the picture of the English judge, the wig and the gowns. He's here judging. Oh, you say, what is that judgment? Do I have to fear? No, he's separating the chaff from the wheat, the righteous from the unrighteous. There's nothing to fear, my brother, my sister. There is nothing to fear. God has come down to love you. God has come down to rescue you. The righteous will not perish with the wicked. You're sealed in. Your minds have been sealed by the word of God. The devil cannot get to you. When Brother Branham brought those messages on the field, he said, if you had silence in heaven, oh, he said, if the devil could get it, he would do great damage. And that's exactly what he would have done. But no man knew the truth. No man understood. Paul was forbidden. John was forbidden. Daniel forbidden. Now comes William Branham, prophet of God, and he stands there and puts it on tape. The devil can't do one thing. There it is. Now the Holy Spirit takes that mechanized word and turns it into dynamics. You shall not die but live. The promise of this hour is not Jesus standing by the graveside of Lazarus, but Brother Branham said it's the same Jesus standing there that did stand there. And in that hour he said, he that believeth, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But the same one in this hour is saying, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? I believe it this morning. I wish I could have had the time, the throat and everything else to preach two more hours. Because I skipped over 11 tremendous points I should have gone into. But it's all over. We're going to pray for 1 minute and I'm going to talk to you with a mic, but with another recording. If you want to put a tape on, you may do so. Heavenly Father, we look to you in Jesus' name. And ask you, my God, to be with us now because decision is being made. It is my making of my decision. And what I do, Lord, I know that I have to account to you for. And I'm willing to account for it or come back being whipped as a dog and repent. If that is what you want, that is exactly right. Because I do not pretend for 1 minute to know what is in the offering, but I do know that you had a prophet one time called Elijah. And he had a minstrel to play for him. He had prayer and everything else offered, and he could not get through to you. And one day he heard the feet of those coming, and he said, let us get out of here. I hear the feet of those coming who would lift my head. And he said, let us go, and he went. I don't know all would happen, but I do know that you must have been in the precipitous flight. That there are sometimes, Lord, there are things we do not understand. And I do not pretend that I am anywhere near Elisha. I am not even anywhere near the least in the kingdom of God. I stand here, Lord, before you, and I admit it. I am not afraid to humble myself and admit these things. But, Lord God in heaven, I want to be right. And if I am not right, I know there is one thing that you will help me. And help me you will, for I know that without a doubt. For you love me and I love you. And it's only because you love me and treated me as you have treated me that I have any knowledge of love whatsoever. That you have done for me what you have done, I would have no knowledge of the other whatsoever. There'd be no flame, there'd be no fire, there'd be nothing kindred in there, there'd be nothing there. So, Lord, I want you to help me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.